Chapter 6. Disturbance in the Royal Capital. Introduction. 1. Third Late Fire Moon, September, 5:44 p.m. The door to the drawing room slowly opened. The well-oiled door should have opened smoothly, but now it moved slowly, heavily, as if against a wall of pressure. At that speed, it might well have been reading Sebas's mind. If the door really knew what he was thinking, he would have rather it didn't open at all. But it did, indeed, give way to reveal the drawing room. The parlor was the same as always, but the four grotesques waiting for him inside were not. One bore the appearance of a light blue samurai. His chilly aura was deactivated, and he was at attention, silver halberd in hand. Another was a demon. What inner thoughts did his sarcastic expression hide? And in the demon's arms was an angel resembling a fetus with wings like withered branches. Lastly,
I humbly apologize for my lateness.
Keeping his voice steady by sheer power of will, Sebas directed an almost religious bow at the sole-seated being in the room. As both house steward and butler, Sebas held one of the highest positions among his peers. But the being that both frightened and awed him was none other than one of the absolutes, the 41 supreme beings. Ein Zul Gone. He was the ruler of the great tomb of Nazarick, with the greatest power at his disposal. The staff of Ein Zul Gone in his hand was giving off a black aura. Hazy red lights glowed in his vacant orbits. Their gaze slid up and down over Sebas, taking him in. He could feel it despite his lowered head. The vibrations in the air told him that Ainz, finding this tiresome, had waved his hand dramatically.
It's fine. Don't worry about it, Sebas. That's what I get for coming with no notice. More importantly, standing over there bowing doesn't get us anywhere. Get in here. My lord!
Sebas raised his head in response to the dignified voice and slowly stepped forward, and a chill went up his spine. With his keen senses, he was detecting skillfully concealed hostility and murderous intent. He slowly shifted his gaze. The two guardians in his field of vision didn't appear to be paying any special attention to Sebas, or so it might seem to the common observer. Sebas realized it well enough. There was nothing amicable about the tension around them. In fact, it was the exact opposite. Their vigilance was not generally found in the presence of allies. Sebas understood their caution, and the pressure made him wonder if everyone in the room could hear his violently pounding heart.
I think you should stop right there.
Demiurge's cool voice halted Sebas in his tracks. The spot Demiurge indicated was slightly removed from their master. Of course, it wasn't so far away as to make conversing difficult, and it would serve as an appropriate distance for an audience with a superior on the whole. But normally, Ainz would have said he was too far away and asked him to approach. His silence created a sense of distance wider than the physical space, and that weighed heavily on Sebas. It was also the optimum range for Cucitus to attack, which made him only more anxious. Incidentally, Solution had entered the room along with Sebas, but she remained right next to the door.
Now then.
Ainz cracked his knuckles, though it wasn't clear how he managed with nothing but bones for fingers.
First, I'll ask you if I need to explain why I've come.
There could be only one reason. The circumstances alone said as much.
No, that won't be necessary. Then, I'd like to hear it straight from you, Sebas. I didn't receive a report, but apparently you recently picked up a cute little pet. Is that right? I knew it.
Sebas felt like an icicle had impaled him in the back. Immediately afterward, he realized he hadn't replied to his master and hurried to raise his voice.
Yes, my lord.